All righty. Good morning, Coastsiders. It's Friday, March 3rd, 2023. Time for some coastal windage. I'm Ruben Truthmaker, and I am fully rested and fully caffeinated. And this is Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast, the Coastside's very own live call-in talk radio show right here on your local community radio station, KHMB. This show is on every Friday morning live from 9 to 10 a.m. on KHMB 100.9 FM and Rockin' 1710 AM and streaming live on khmbradio.com. Coastside Issues, Hot Topics, and You and Me, and That's Us. Tell people about this show. Tell people about KHMB. This is our local radio station. All right, this is a local treasure. Let's treasure it. Okay, today's topics. I tasked the interns with giving me a ton of topics to work with, a ton of content. So we've got about three shows worth of content that we're going to try to pack into 59 minutes. Okay, here we go. It is 9:01 a.m. right here on Main Street in Half Moon Bay. We're live. It's Friday. Let's do this. Our topics today: performing arts on the Coastside this month. Ruben, that's me, and Coastal Windage are big supporters of the performing arts on the coast. All right, Thunderdome Part 2. Yes, there's more to that story. And name that park in El Granada. Okay, folks, this is your chance to listen to and participate in discussions about local topics and issues. This is our Coastside talk radio show. Get involved. Let's do this. Okay, the number to call if you want to be part of it, 650-560-9851. Or you can send an email to coastalwindage@gmail.com. You can listen to, you're telling me you don't have an AM radio in your car because in your new Rivian? Well, guess what? You can listen to Coastal Windage and KHMB live right now on the internet. Go to khmbradio.com and click the Listen Live link at the top right of the page. Tell a friend. You now have no excuse. And if you miss this live show this morning or any Friday morning, you can go to the khmbradio.com and click the show podcast tab. All podcasts, recordings of all of the KHMB shows are available going back to like 2012. Okay, so there's no excuse. You know what else there's no excuse for? Not going for a nice brew and a meal at Cameron's Pub and Restaurant down at the end of Main Street. Well, it's actually on Highway 1. But down there at the south end of Main Street, Cameron's Pub and Restaurant, a true English pub with loads of beer on tap, 19, if you're being specific, 60-plus beers available in bottles, all kinds of other alcohol. If you can't find a beer you like there, then you don't like beer, okay? I mean, that's just, I believe that's a pretty much a true statement. But beyond the alcohol, it's a true family restaurant, fun family atmosphere. There's game room. There's lots of screens. There's outside amenities. I think they still have the double-decker bus that's fun to hang out in. I know my child loved to play out there. The great grub, pub grub, fish and chips, homemade clam chowder, free Wi-Fi, outdoor doggy dining patio, open 7 hours a week. I mean, it's an endless list of features there. You got to go check it out. And I know if you're a local, you've been there many times. Keep going there. We really appreciate Cameron's support for this show. Okay. Now, you support this show. Give us a call. 650-560-9851. Let's get involved. Here's how we try to help you even more. Okay. But besides telling you about stuff that's going on the Coastside and great places to eat like Cameron's, here's the air quality report. Traffic and weather, yeah, whatever. That's old news in radio. But air quality report, this is the quality of the air you're breathing right here and now. Let's remember the scale. 0 to 50 is incredible, pure nectar air. 51 to 100 is very good. Over 100, not as good. So today in El Granada, 4 single digits. I mean, that's hard to beat, right? 6 today in Half Moon Bay, 8 in Redwood City, 13 in Santa Cruz, and today in Cleulum, Washington, where my brother is going to be working this summer for the U.S. Forest Service, It is zero today in Cleolum. However you pronounce that. Again, I mispronounce my own name half of the time or a quarter of the time. So there's no chance I was going to pronounce that correctly. If somebody knows the correct way to pronounce that, give me a call. And is this someone correcting my pronunciation right now? Let's find out. This is Ruben on Coastal Windage. Who are we speaking with this morning?
Mark Samuels.
Mark Samuels. Now, Mark, we're having a whole segment here later in the show on one of your favorite projects. I'm going to say it's a favorite project. And that is Blue Blanket Improv. You are the founder of this local comedy improv troupe, as also the lead singer and driver of the Winnebago there. And so are you calling in to talk about that, or are you going to help me with my pronunciation of Cleolum?
I'm in with the talk.
Okay, let's
chat with you.
Hold on. Let me get the interns over here. Can you give me the card? Just hand me the... I know we're going out of order. Just give me the cards for performing arts. Okay, sorry, Mark. I'm very rigid in my approach to things. And
I can call back later too. I'm going to be listening all morning.
Oh, great. Well, you know what? The interns are struggling to find to go out of order on the thing. Do you want to call back? We can skip forward to Blue Blanket right now. Oh, they got it to me right now. Okay, here we go. You ready, Mark?
Always ready.
Blue Blanket Improv, the local professional improv comedy troupe, is holding auditions this month, correct?
Absolutely true, yeah. We're actually the senior co-signer. We have a new location for the auditions as well. So that's new. We're being supported by the Adult Day Health off of Half Moon Bay Main Street.
Now, over the years, you've had several different venues where you have performed. Are you still planning on, I know COVID interrupted things. Are you still planning on doing a live monthly show?
The plan is yes. The question is where. So the Fitz studio was sold in December under new management, and they had no idea because we stopped during COVID. They had no idea that we were there. So the stage has been removed because they didn't realize that we used it. At the moment we're in negotiations. We're making phone calls and we're reaching out to the community to find a new location to perform as well. But yes, we are planning on doing a performance.
Okay. So listeners, if you know of a venue, or you know of somebody that might know of a venue, give us send an email to coastalwindage@gmail.com. I'll forward it on to Mark. This comedy improv troupe, of which I will acknowledge I am an alumnus of this troupe,
hopefully a future member again.
I definitely think it's in my future at some point. It was a great experience for me from 2007 to 2012. We performed at various locations around the coastside on our monthly show, including Enzo's Gallery, the Sandbar,
Odd Fellows
Hall. We also went on the road and performed at the San Francisco Theater Festival, UC Merced, San Jose Convention Center, and other places. Because, Mark, it's not talk about this. It's not just performance. It's not just the performance, but it's a nonprofit that contributes a lot to other nonprofits and the high school. Can you talk about that angle of Blue Blanket Improv?
Sure. Over the past however many years we've been doing it, we've donated over $20,000.
$20,000? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm agog. Wow. That is amazing. Sorry,
yeah,
Mark.
So
go ahead.
It's okay. Since 2007, when we came to Half Moon Bay, we've been around since 9/11. That's when we did our first auditions, 9/11/2001. In San Francisco, where we performed originally. But since 2007, we've been in Half Moon Bay. We've donated back to the school for the high school musical and to college scholarships for youth. We just had auditions last week, I think it was, and we were supposed to be giving out one scholarship, but kids are too talented, so we had to, unfortunately, because of COVID, our bank funds are a little low, so the members are all chipping in, and we're going to give away two scholarships this year.
Wow, that I remember... When you gave away the first scholarship, how exciting that was, both for the recipient of that scholarship.
Yeah, that was Jared Gibbs.
Exactly. And it was just such a wonderful thing and such a great idea, too. And really shows the community aspect of Blue Blanket. Well, let's talk about comedy improv, because here I'm just going to steal from your advertisement for the auditions, which is, do you like to tell stories and make people laugh? Do you have an eye for the absurd and an ear for accents? Then improv comedy with Blue Blanket might be the thing for you. I mean, that's just like a very superficial cut at it, because yes, those are all the, those are some of the things, but it's so much more satisfying than that. And to me, it helped me with I don't know if life lessons are the thing, but it's life skills like commitment and self-confidence and listening. And these are important life skills that really come out of being in an improv troupe. Can you talk about some of the games, some of the things that you do that build those skills?
Yeah, so a lot of things we do, there's several different skill sets. The basic ground rule for improv is yes and, as it should be for life. Stuff's going to show up. You have to accept what's coming at you and either modify it to be more effective or fun for you, or find a way to deal with it and move on. And with the yes and, whenever you're on stage, you're always with another person. So it's not like stand-up comedy where you have to like just make it up and make the audience just laugh. You always have another person there with you. So you learn how to build relationships with people to help you out and to help them out. If you're both successful, then that's a win. And so that's kind of how teamwork works. That's how a presentation would work. You get up on stage, you're not talking at an audience, you're talking with an audience, because you want to develop a relationship with them. You want to develop give and take with them. So we do something called verbal wit, which is where we are able to be quickly on our feet. We learn these skills. The brain and all these skills are just like any other muscle. The more you practice them, the more shortcuts you learn on how to use them more effectively, the better you're going to be at it. So doing presentations, I do presentations all over the country for my actual work, which is the Veterans Administration Hospital. And when I'm giving my lectures, I'm performing. There's absolutely no doubt. I use a lot of comedy. I'm working with people in the hospital who are having a hard time. I'm able to use my comedy and my listening skills to incorporate what I'm doing with them. And that's the goal that we teach our interns. They do a 3-month internship with us before we give them the college scholarship. It's not about performing. They don't have to go on to be theater majors. They can go on to be whatever the heck they want. Just like all of our members, you included, when they show up, they may or may not feel comfortable on stage. By the time they leave us, they are much more comfortable interacting, coming up with things. If you know your topic, you're able to build on it. One of my favorite things that we're doing right now is when we do our online, we've been doing online rehearsals for quite a while, but we also do in person, and we're going to be doing in person starting the end of this month. One of the things we do is like metaphorical metaphors, where someone is given an object and a concept, a relationship or whatever, and they have to talk about that object as a metaphor for that relationship. And the idea is that you can build on anything. Everything and anything is a resource for building your ideas and getting your message forward. And that's what we try to teach our players. And they can build that. And we use stories. We use the Disney Pixar storyline of story spine, where you start with somebody who, what, where, when, and why, and then something bad happens. And then something else happens. And so you're building a relationship with the character first. And then you get this twist, and it gets worse and worse and worse. And then you have to come up with ways creatively to solve that problem. And creative problem solving is, well, the key to most things in life, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, listen to these, again, life skills that you are mentioning here. I totally left out the teamwork part, which I love team sports. And for 5 years in Blue Blanket, that was my team sport. Because it's the supporting nature of it. I think you mentioned, like, it's not stand-up comedy. Your goal is not to come up with some funny one-liner, because that kind of kills the scene and also leaves your partner or the other people on stage just kind of hanging there. You're building and you're building and you're working together, and you're playing off of what somebody else said to further the scene along. And that's one way to get people past feeling nervous up there. Like, you're not alone up there. You know, contribute what you can to the scene, but know that there's other people there that are going to jump in to further the, whatever you say, somebody else is going to jump in to further that along.
And
absolutely, that teamwork thing, anybody that's interested in auditioning for Blue Blanket but is concerned, I had never been on stage before, I've never done any kind of performing,
and now you've got a radio show.
I know. Well, the reason that this radio show is successful, if we can just go ahead and go with that premise, is because of Blue Blanket. The confidence, the idea of committing to something, those kinds of things are things that come out from being in Blue Blanket. Because of the teamwork aspect, because of the structure, Mark, that you bring and the guidance that you bring to it as the leader of the troupe, It's a wonderful, amazing. It was a wonderful, amazing experience for me, and I hope that you get lots of people coming out to the auditions, because if they do, if they come to one practice session, they'll be hooked. They will be hooked. So let's talk about when that audition is again, so that you will have lots of people there. So it's Saturday, March 18th. Two Saturdays from now. I don't even know what day it is. Yeah, two Saturdays from now, March 18th. Yep. From 1 to 3 p.m. at 925 Main Street in Half Moon Bay, which is the Senior Coastsiders building?
Yeah. My wife actually was volunteering, but now is an employee. She does part-time work there. And they graciously donated the PT gym to allow us to do our auditions there. They're an incredible organization who we are going to be adding to our list of support. We're going to start to support them as well, financially as well, is my hope and plan.
Well, that's great. I mean, again, like the not only the entertainment value, another thing I loved about Blue Blanket and still love about it is it's a local show that you do once a month. You don't have to drive over the hill. You can go to a restaurant here in town and then go see the 7 o'clock live comedy improv show in your hometown here on the coast side. It's really a special thing. And then you give back to all these organizations, including the High School Musical, right? You're an annual supporter of the High School Musical.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, I know they're doing your in town. I think they're going to be talking about that shortly.
Yep.
I don't want to give away any surprises.
That's okay.
My son's going to be working stage crew. We're super excited to see the show.
Oh, well, that's fantastic. Well, I will look for him and you there because Coastal Windage and the Truthmaker family are big fans of the High School Musical, and we will definitely be seeing you in town this year. Well, Mark, thank you for calling in and talking about Blue Blanket again. Saturday, March 18th, 1 to 3 p.m., 925 Main Street at the Senior Coastsiders Building, auditions for the local comedy improv troupe, Blue Blanket Improv. People, go do this.
All that information is up on the website as well, blueblanketimprov.org. Or blueblanketimprov.com. So all that information is up there as well if you forget it. But we would love to see you and come out and play. It's fun.
Great. Okay, Mark Samuels, founder and lead singer of Blue Blanket Improv. Thanks for giving us the call, Mark. And good luck on those auditions. Can't wait to see when you guys come back to your monthly live show here in town.
Thank you, Truth Man. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye, Mark.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Mark Samuels, the founder of Blue Blanket Improv, really appreciate him calling in. People, go to the audition. It's so much fun. You'll love it. Okay. Are we done? Oh, no, we still have a show to do. I got so wrapped up in that, I felt like I was in a scene with Mark there. Okay. I want to give a big thanks to last week's guest hosts, Livy Streetwise and Julie Mell. It was a little bit of sentimental for me. I really miss working with Livy. We worked together for 4 years on this show. She's incredible. And I also have a special place in my heart for Julie Mell because I love movies. And Julie has kind of brought me in a little bit and allowed me to work with her at the 2022 inaugural Beach Break Film Festival. And so I really appreciate that. And Julie is the person that has brought movies back to the coast side. And they discussed that it's big things are happening for Julie's company, Beach Break Entertainment. In fact, tonight's a big night for Beach Break Entertainment. They're having a movie night at the San Benito House. Surf's Up, the animated film, will be shown about penguins and surfing, I think, will be showing at 6:30 p.m. at San Benito House, followed by Groundswell, The Other Side of Fear at 8:30 p.m. This will be introduced by Jeff Clark. This is a movie by filmmaker Paul Taublieb, again, I'm sorry, Paul, that follows big wave surfers from Hawaii to Half Moon Bay. The thing about this movie, I mean, that's an interesting premise right there, but while making the film, I'm sorry, Paul, my pronunciation is horrible. Paul was introduced to the legacy of Malcolm Fikes by El Granada resident and former editor of Surfer Magazine, Steve Hawk. If that last name sounds familiar, the answer is yes. He is Tony's brother, but he's also a prominent local citizen and surf advocate in his own right. In this film, two out-of-towners come to Half Moon Bay to surf Mavericks and are pleasantly surprised by the welcoming, inclusive culture here. because, you know, surfing has a reputation of being very tribal and locals only. The really touching part of this film is it features a tribute to Malcolm as one of the people who inspired this welcoming surf culture here. As a person who is an inspiration to live our best lives, I think people that listen to this show or are members of this community know about Malcolm, a beloved hometown kid who was on the Half Moon Bay surf team, the high school water polo team, a junior guards instructor and an avid surfer who unfortunately drowned in the surf at Pompano Beach in July of 2018. His kind of motto for life was show up and be kind. And that really is something that has resonated with people on the coast side and inspired this welcoming surf culture here. I'm so happy that Malcolm's legacy is living on through this movie, through the sign that used to be at Surfers Beach before the storms took it down this past winter, through stickers that you see all. If you see that sticker on a car somewhere that says show up and be kind, that's Malcolm right there. Okay, so Groundswell is showing at 8:30 tonight at the San Benito House Cantina Garden, located at 356 Main Street in Half Moon Bay. Tickets are available online at beachbreakentertainment.com. Thank you, Julie Mel, for making that happen. Okay. And there's a great article about this movie in the Half Moon Bay Review this week. And speaking of the Half Moon Bay Review, big congratulations to Clay Lambert, who has been promoted to publisher of the Half Moon Bay Review. Clay takes over for Deborah Hershon, who worked for the Review for decades. Clay has been the editor of the Half Moon Bay Review for about 20 years. I mean, his list of accolades is pretty long. He's won numerous awards from the California News Publishers Association. He was named National Editor of the Year by Suburban Newspaper Association in 2010. A member of the Colorado State University Media Hall of Fame, and this year he will be a fellow with the American Leadership Forum in Silicon Valley. But beyond those accolades, Clay has been a caring and thoughtful steward of the content of our local small-town newspaper. And I know some people have at times, you know, criticized Clay for this or that. I mean, that if you're the editor of a newspaper, you make editorial decisions and you're not going to please everybody all the time. But I personally have known Clay since 2006 when I walked into the Review offices cold off the street and asked him to let me write some articles about the inaugural Tour of California bicycle race. And Clay didn't know, here's some, you know, ragged looking guy coming off the street saying, yeah, I'll write some stuff for you. Well, Clay gave me the chance and published the articles that I wrote, and we've had a relationship ever since. Whenever I'm grumpy about something in the paper, I'll send him an email. He responds right back because he does care about this community. He does care about the quality of the paper. And we are darn lucky to have had him as the editor of this paper for the last 20 years. Okay, darn lucky. Coastside Hall of Fame? Yes. Okay, that's a little game we play on this show. Would this person, if we had a Coastside Hall of Fame, would this person be in it? In my mind, I'm voting for Clay in there, yes. To learn more about Clay, you can listen to our Shooting the Breeze live interview with him from our February 18, 2022 show. Go to khmbradio.com, click the show podcast tab. February 18, 2002, Coastal Windage. We had an interview with him. Congratulations to Clay. Nice job. Couldn't happen to a better person, okay? A more qualified person, a person who cares about this community, okay, and small-town newspapers. All right. Weather notes. Looked like I picked the right week for a vacation last week. While I was enjoying the warmth, sun, and chillation of Key West, apparently it rained, was cold, and snowed here. Some people were sending me pictures of snow, not just up on Skyline, which happens, you know, every few years. Somebody sent me a picture of snow on the sandy beach of El Granada, on Surfers Beach, snow on the beach. Oh my goodness. Wow. And of course, because there was a wisp of wind and some rain, of course we lost power here. You know, of course we did. We can't have a rainstorm anymore without losing power to half the coast side. And then I guess there was thunder and lightning on Monday. So, yeah, Key West was amazing. You know, one of my fantasies in life, or one of my dreams that I don't get to live out anymore now that I live on the coastside, is sitting out on my patio at 10 o'clock at night in shorts and a short sleeve shirt, enjoying a cool drink. Oh man, Key West, that was 24/7. Oh, I just soaked it up. I love the heat. Can't get enough of it here. Anyways, okay, but we're back. I wanted to ask people this. Did anybody notice this past weekend the magnification effect in the atmosphere? Okay, so we were driving home from the airport Friday night, I think, and my son pointed out the moon. It was about, 10 p.m., and he pointed out the moon, which was kind of coming up over the horizon, and it looked huge. It was like a one-quarter moon, so it wasn't even a full moon, and it looked oversized. Like, it was like, it looked like it was really, really, really close to us, and we all commented, well, that's interesting, you know, maybe... something about the orbit of the, I don't know, whatever. We didn't know, but maybe it was just us. We were, jet lagged or something. Okay. But then the next day I went for a bike ride, and I was coming up, old San Pedro Mountain Road up to the saddle, on the way to the saddle. And then you go down the other side to Pacifica. And an airplane was kind of coming over the ridgeline, and I could see the underside of the plane because it was coming up over the ridgeline and it was kind of making a banked turn. So all I could see was the underside of the plane. And again, it looked massive, like really oversized. Like, yes, it was close, but it wasn't that close. And it's not like I haven't seen a million airplanes coming over that ridge riding my bike on Monterey Mountain. But this thing was ridiculously large. And I thought, okay, that's two instances, but... again, maybe my eyes are just a little groggy. I don't know. Until I came over the ridge and I saw the Farallon Islands, and they looked like they were literally like I could spit and hit them from there. And so then I thought, okay, that's three different instances. Something is going on here. I mulled it over for the rest of the bike ride and came up with this scientific conclusion. Here's my theory as to what was seemingly why these things were oversized. That because it was so cold and there's seemingly a high level of humidity in the air, that somehow ice crystals in the air created a magnification effect, making these things that were in the air or in the distance seem larger and closer than they were. Now, I went and tried to look this up online, something about ice crystals and magnification in the atmosphere. I couldn't find anything about it in the Bay Area last weekend, any kind of discussion or any scientific discussion of this effect, but it was definitely happening. That was three things. I'm wondering if anybody out there noticed similar things last weekend. If you did, give us a call, 650-560-9851. Okay. I'm not saying that coastal windage should get all the credit for this, but just saying, the coincidence bears mentioning. 2 weeks ago, I was mentioning that there are three bridges, footpath or bike trail bridges, in the mid-coast that are missing or non-functional right now. That would be the San Vicente Creek Bridge and Fitzgerald Marine Preserve, which a tree fell on and is closed off indefinitely. West Medio Creek Bridge on the Coastal Trail, which is in the process of being rebuilt. And the East Medio Creek Bridge on the Parallel Trail, which they built the trail, but the bridge part was missing, which was the key part of the trail. I mentioned that all three of those bridges were missing or dysfunctional 2 weeks ago on the show. And lo and behold, guess what? On Monday, they laid down the graded metal bridge for the East Medio Creek Bridge. Okay, you're welcome, Coastsiders. You know that you gotta push the envelope a little bit, you know, like poke at people. So let's see if we can get that San Vicente Creek Bridge and the West Medio Creek Bridge in. And when those happens, yes, Coastal Windage will take the credit for that. It's just too bad that parallel trail ends about 100 yards south down the bike path at two bollards in a field. It's a beautiful bridge. It's a beautiful $5 million mile and a half stretch of bike path that ends in a field. So, okay. All right, let's see. Performing Oats? Is that your new band, Frank? It's a combination of Hall & Oates and Performing Arts. Performing Arts on the Coastside this month. It's not your band, Frank? No, okay. Frank does more traditional classical music. Okay. Let's see. This year's High School Musical, we mentioned it earlier in our discussion with Mark Samuels at Half Moon Bay High School, will be Urinetown, the musical. Performances will be March 17th, 18th, and 19th, and March 24th, 25th, and 26th. The Friday and Saturday performances begin at 7 p.m., and Sunday performances are at 2 p.m. Tickets went on sale this week, so go and get your tickets right now. I was not given a URL for these tickets, but I imagine if you go to the Half Moon Bay High School website, you can buy the tickets there. Or if you have a high schooler in your family, maybe you can ask them to pick up tickets on campus. But get them soon. There's only 6 performances. I'm sure they're going to sell out because the Half Moon Bay High School Musical is always fantastic. I'm still commenting on my favorite over all the years was the Mamma Mia musical from 2019, which was just absolutely amazing. In all of these musicals, the kids work so hard. There's a live band doing the music. That's another amazing part of these musicals. The Coastal Windage and the Truthmaker family, big supporters of the High School Musical. We're definitely going again this year. And now it's time to say that the only downside to the High School Musical at Half Moon Bay High, and this has nothing to do with the kids or the staff that helps them. Okay, so let's set that aside. The kids are amazing. All caps. The room that they have to perform in, the awful, depressing, and frankly embarrassing multi-purpose room that these kids have to perform in is a travesty. I've mentioned this before every year when I talk about the High School Musical. That multi-purpose room has been unchanged for the last 40 years at Half Moon Bay High School. It looks exactly like the multi-purpose room that we did our little school performances in at my elementary school in rural East County, San Diego in the early 70s. And we're still forcing these kids to perform there. It's terrible. It is terrible. These kids deserve so much more. Imagine if we had a performing arts venue with stadium seating and a real lighting system and musical system. And a real stage. I mean, yes, there's a stage there, but you know what? There's a stage there, and you can see the kind of storage drawers in the front of the stage where they stack the chairs and tables. I mean, come on. Our kids deserve better than that. They deserve a venue equal to their performances. Okay? And if we had a performing arts center in town or venue where the kids, the High School Musical could happen, other local actors like Blue Blanket Improv, musicians, comedians, other acts could perform there, and it could be a venue for movies, for things like Julie Mell's Film Festival, concerts, and other performances. We need this. Okay. We talked about Blue Blanket Improv is having their auditions March 18th, 1 to 3 p.m. at Senior Coastsiders. Do that. All right. I need a daub here. Can I get a daub? Thank you. Left side as well. All right. I've worked myself into a lather there, which is good, right? I mean, I'm sure some people tune in to the show just for a good laugh. Let's see what vein Ruben's going to pop in his head today. Well, that was my vein right there. The awful multi-purpose room that our high school students have to do their wonderful performances in. All right. Speaking of the high school, Thunderdome, Dome, part two. Yes, first of all, after discussing the Thunderdome, what is Thunderdome? After discussing the Thunderdome that is now the Strawflower Village parking lot, weekday mornings between 8 to 9 a.m., we discussed this on our February 10th show, it was brought to our attention by a listener who sent us an email that some folks are not familiar with the term Thunderdome, which I mean, I guess, am I that, Frank, am I that old? Frank, you know what Thunderdome is, right? Did you see that movie? Thunderdome, Mad Max, Beyond Thunderdome? Okay, right, exactly. What is Thunderdome? Thunderdome is a kind of a no-holds-barred, anything-goes type situation. Oh, now I see everybody shaking their head, nodding their heads. Yes, that is Strawflower Village parking lot between 8 and 9 a.m. on weekdays with cars going literally every direction. I mean, you've got the, like, horrible entryway to begin with, and then you got cars going every direction because of the backup to get into the high school. Off of Lewis Foster Drive, onto Main Street, backed up on Highway 1, the left turn lane backs all the way up to Terrace, and so people don't want to sit there, so they come down, they turn right into Strawflower Village, and then they just zigzag pell-mell through the parking lot to get back around to come out at the stoplight to go across Highway 1 onto Main Street and then onto Lewis Foster. Okay, the term Thunderdome comes from the fighting arena in the movie Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, and now connotes a situation of violent confusion, mayhem, anarchy, and lawlessness. Right, exactly. The perfect description of Strawflower Village. Okay. So, what is the Thunderdome Part 2? Well, now the high school is giving notice that such lawlessness as occurs down the hill from them in Strawflower Village because of the high school, because of the start time there, will not happen now on Lewis Foster Drive. Okay, the law has been laid down by the administration at Half Moon Bay High School in last week's Cougar Courier newspaper. They sent an open letter. Dear Half Moon Bay High School families, Half Moon Bay High School staff and community members on the coast have noticed a very concerning increase in reckless driving by our students. What? Reckless driving by high school students? Wait, hold on a sec. Increase? Really? They've noticed an increase? It's gotten worse? Or they've just now noticed it? I mean, really, has there been an increase? I find that hard to believe. It seems like it's always been that way, but okay. The letter continues. Please be aware that the Sheriff's Department has installed a portable speed radar sign on Lewis Foster Drive. Okay, problem solved. Let's move on. That portable speed radar sign, they might as well have just put an empty police car there, or empty sheriff's car or something. Because that sign is not going to issue citations or pull anybody over. It's just going to tell the kids how fast they're driving. Also, I don't know when this reckless driving is occurring because between 8 and 9 in the morning, there's an ant trail going about a mile an hour up the hill. So, I'm not quite sure where this increase is happening or when. It wasn't specified in the letter, but the letter continues. As a reminder from the Sheriff's Department, all students who drive must follow the law, possess a driver's license, and have current and valid insurance and registration. Okay. Students who are... up to that point, at least they're addressing, I guess, the idea of reckless driving and speeding, which is a concern, right? People could get hurt, there could be accidents. But then the letter seems to go off on a different tack, which doesn't really have anything to do with reckless driving or the potential of injury, and seems more about administrative issues involving parking. The letter continues. Students who are driving/parking at Half Moon Bay High School must have a 2022-2023 Half Moon Bay High School parking permit. As I read this, I was thinking, okay, but how does this relate to an increase in reckless driving? Are people zooming around trying to get parking spots? Okay, if that's the case, that needs to be spelled out. But this seems to be more about, hey, we want people to have a parking permit, and doesn't have anything to do with speeding or reckless driving. But let's continue. The following are possible consequences for students driving without a license and or a Half Moon Bay High School parking permit. Traffic ticket. Really? I mean, let's not throw empty threats. A traffic ticket? Is there going to be a highway patrol stationed on Lewis Foster Drive or in the Half Moon Bay High School parking lot? I mean, this is where you lose credibility with the students. Like, that doesn't make any sense. A traffic ticket? Who's going to issue this ticket? Who is going to issue this ticket? That is a total empty comment right there, because there's not enough sheriffs. The highway patrol has real work to do out on the highway. There's nobody going to issue that traffic ticket. Okay, tow the vehicle. I mean, based on what my high schooler has told me about the amount of vaping and other nefarious acts going on in the school buildings, including the bathrooms, and we've discussed on this show how the high school is so desperate to knock down this level of nefarious activity on the campus outside of the parking lot that they want members of the community to just come in and walk around on campus, and they've instituted an anonymous tip line, that this is the biggest problem that resources and attentions have to be focused on is people not parking in the right spot. So they're going to have people spending their time going out and checking that and then calling a tow service and having a tow truck come in and tow some teenager's car away. Again, the empty threats just lose credibility. Okay. Parents could be citing for contributing to the delinquency of a minor. Oh my giblets. I mean, come on. Parents could be citing for contributing to the delinquency of a minor. Again, my high schooler has told me that staff knows that there is a lot of vaping going on in the bathrooms, but they don't want to go in there because they don't want to deal with it. And yet there's empty threats of citations, towing of vehicles, and now threatening the parents with contributing to the delinquency of a minor. What exactly would that contribution be to the delinquency of the minor? I know it just does that. I don't even see the connection there to illegal parking or even reckless driving. And an increase in insurance costs, which would only occur if there was a documented accident or a citation. As we go back up to the first point on this, the first empty threat of citations issued, who's going to issue those citations? Because I take my son to high school every morning, and I have never seen a sheriff's car or a highway patrol up there at all, let alone issuing citations. So, I mean, I just... All right, the letter continues. Please help us spread this message by having a conversation with your student about the dangers of reckless driving. Okay, I'm with you on that. I'm with the high school on that. Absolutely. People know that listen to this show. Driving, I don't feel that driving is that hard. People just don't pay attention. Focus and commit to driving. I'm with you on there. We care deeply for the safety of our Half Moon Bay High School staff, students, and families. I believe that. Okay. All right, this letter, while well-intentioned, seems to suffer from a lack of focus. Is the issue of concern reckless driving on campus or parking in the wrong spots on campus without a permit? These are two completely different issues that don't seem to, you know, really go in the same letter that is subject line reckless driving danger, okay? More attention is given in the letter to parking issues than speeding or reckless driving. All right. 650-560-9851 if you want to set me straight on what I'm missing about the letter about reckless driving from the high school, or add anything else to this conversation, feel free. We're here for another 15 minutes. Okay, excellent. All right, let's take some emails. I think I was so excited to go to Key West that I forgot to give... I forgot to tell the interns to show up for the show last week, so they didn't show up, and the interns have the keys to the various lock boxes here in the studio, as well as the password to the email account. So unfortunately, Livy and Julie Mel were not able to read any emails. So we have some emails from a couple weeks ago, and I think a couple from this week, too. So I apologize for that. Again, I had my mind on Key West, and in some aspects, it's still there. All right, in Key West. All right, this is an email from listener 4 p.m. Nixons. Okay. I should have skipped the mailbag today. I'm a bit peeved at you, Ruben. for suggesting that kids should not give Valentine's Day cards to their parents and vice versa. I love giving my little ones Valentine's Day cards and little presents, and who doesn't love getting some little handmade arts and craft cards from their kids that they made in school? The day is not about lovers, it is about love, pure and simple. Okay, big heart mom, point taken. I did note on our February 17 show when I discussed Valentine's Day, the U.S. Greeting Card Association estimates that approximately 190 million Valentines are sent each year in the U.S., and half of those Valentines are given to family members other than the husband or wife, usually to children. So, okay, I get your point there, although I'm not sure that I agree with you that the day is about love in general. I think it was originally about lovers and romantic love. And I dare say that now it is less about love than about money. Ooh, ow. I can already feel the knives in my back. I'm probably going to get a bag full of email replies to that comment. But yeah, about love. I mean, I like your idealism, Big Heart Mom, but okay, well, let's see what's next. I'm now a little gun shy to take this next email. All right, let's see what we got. Here we go. Hand it over. Okay. This one's from listener Storm Maelstrom the Third. Ooh, Storm Maelstrom the Third. Subject line, Mural Wars. I want to listen to last week's show. I guess this would be 2 weeks ago. But I can't seem to find the podcast for it on the KHMB website. I love your idea for a Mural Wars or a Mural Off. Not only would this be an interesting TV reality show, but it is also a pretty cool idea for a local fundraising event or even a competition or event for our local school children. What do Jane and Julie think about it? Okay, let's see. Well, unfortunately, Storm Maelstrom the Third, if that is your real name, the podcast for our February 17th show has been lost in the sands of time, or lost to the ghost in the machine, if you will. Technical difficulties occurred, and the recording was lost, which is a shame because that was literally the best show I've ever done. That was like an award-winning show, just the best ever, but it's gone. But for our listeners this morning, what Storm is referring to is an idea I had proposed for a mural off between Jane Kim and Julie Engelman, local artists, both of who we've had on this show for Shooting the Breeze live interviews. Both are fantastic local muralists who currently have murals facing each other at the corner of Kelly Avenue and Main Street, or what I have dubbed mural corners. So my ideas, thinking about that, I've had the both of them on the show, they have murals across from each other on Kelly, would be kind of like a rap wars of the 80s and 90s popularized in Eminem's movie 8 Mile. We could have Julie and Jane meet at a building somewhere in town that has blank walls. They could show up with their art tools, and we could let them go back and forth for a couple of hours. Each muralist gets 10 minutes at a time to add to their wall, and then after 2 hours, see what has been made, and people could clap, and it could be a live event with people watching, and they could clap for whoever they thought won. We need to iron out the details here, but again, I feel like this could be like a TV reality show or something. And thank you, Storm Maelstrom the Third. I like your ideas having it as a local fundraising event for a nonprofit or a school competition or something like that. That seems pretty cool. And then at the end result, we'd have some more local artwork, some more murals. Maybe I'll reach out to Jane and Julie and see what they think. Okay, we've got a call. Let's see who we've got this morning. This is Ruben Truthmaker, who we got on the phone.
And this is your good buddy Jim Henderson here. Sorry to interfere with your wonderful oratory that you're going through, but I wanted to share with our listeners the fact that There is a mountain lion that has been seen in the open space area southwest of Magnolia Street, and deputies and Fish and Game are now looking for the animal. So keep your eyes open if you live in that part of town, because it looks like you have a furry friend in your neighborhood.
Wow. Okay. This is, Jim, this is why we love having a local radio station and even a live show on that. This is live breaking news from the field. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate
okay,
that.
Buddy.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, live breaking news. I mean, that's another feature of having a live show. All right, let's see. We've got, what do we got, 7 minutes? 6 minutes? All right, speed read here. Name that park in El Granada. In addition to their efforts to develop a community center for mid-coasters, the Granada Community Services District is also developing plans for a park in the Burnham Strip section of El Granada. This is the area across the highway from Surfers Beach where the skate ramp and the dirt parking lot currently are. These things take time, and they've been working on it for a few years now. But GCSD continues to move forward towards creating this park. They've had numerous public outreach events and public meetings to review plans. And as part of that, recently GCSD has been taking suggestions for the name of its new proposed park in the Burnham Strip. But, surprise, I mean, this seems like something that people could have fun with, but there's a little bit of a controversy about this. Burnham Park is the name that has been proposed by GCSD because famed architect Daniel Burnham was instrumental in designing the layout of El Granada Township back at the turn of the last century when the town was built. This is a El Granada is a planned community. The whole layout was planned by Daniel Burnham. Now, Burnham is famous for designing the White City in Chicago for the 1893 Columbian Exposition, the famous Flatiron Building in New York, the Mount Wilson Observatory in Pasadena, California, among many other notable structures and layouts. And specifically, he designed the El Granada community as an amphitheater, with the area now referred to as the Burnham Strip as the stage of that amphitheater, and with the majestic Pacific Ocean as the backdrop. Two recent articles in the review have focused on a public desire for a different name than Burnham Park, though apparently some folks don't like the name Burnham Park. Reasons given are people don't like naming things after people, and that's understandable because it seems like after a certain amount of time, everybody's got something that they did wrong in their life or they regret or whatever, and that comes back to haunt them when their name gets put on something. Okay. Burnham Park is not very colorful or interesting. Now, the name Jetty Park has been proposed to align with surrounding landmarks like Surfers Beach. Many locals call the beach area the Jetty and the adjacent dirt parking lot Jetty Lot and the wooden half pipe the Jetty Ramp. So there's a lot of jetty there. So El Granada's Steve Hawk, which we mentioned earlier in the show, has said that locals have essentially forever linked Pillar Point Harbor's breakwater and the park because of their proximity to each other. Okay, so that's why the name Jetty Park seems like something people are supporting. Hawk submitted a letter to GCSD outlining the proposal with support from the owners of Hop Dogma Brewing Company, Blue Ocean Brewing Company, Spangler's Market, and Breakwater Barbecue. Okay, so GCSD board member Barbara Dye made the following arguments in favor of Burnham Park. El Granada, and these are her points. El Granada is the only town in the U.S. built according to a plan by Burnham. Okay, that's pretty cool. Burnham was an early environmentalist and wanted a town with large open spaces and views, and El Granada reflects his vision. He wanted only small trees in the medians, not the tall eucalyptus, which were later planted by the railroad company, the Ocean Shore Railroad. Let's see. The park area has been known as the Burnham Strip for decades. Okay, so those are a few reasons. There's some more, but those are a few reasons why Burnham Park was proposed. It seemed like a slam dunk, but the controversy, some folks who want the name Jetty Park think that GCSD is just disregarding this, waving that away like they've settled on Burnham and they're not going to listen, but at a couple of public input events, respondents favored Burnham Park almost 2-1. So taking this into account, Barbara Dye further proposed a compromise, and that was to give the jetty name to the active recreation area in the center of the park where the skate ramp, playgrounds, and et cetera will be located. And it could be the jetty zone within Burnham Park or something similar like that. And this is done all the time with athletic venues. So you'll have, you know, like the Barry Bonds Field at Oracle Park or something like that, where the field, the playing surface, has a name inside the stadium, which has a different name. Okay, what do you say, Coastsiders? Following are some suggestions that have been proposed. Burnham Park, Jeff Clark Park, Jetty Park, Vanderwerf Park, after local historian Barbara Vanderwerf, who we've had on this show, October 2nd, 2020. We had a live interview with her. And an Ohlone name. The Ohlone are the indigenous people who lived here. Although there is no evidence of Ohlone people actually living or working on the site of Burnham Park. There's a couple of names that have been proposed, Ohlone names, which I will absolutely butcher these, so I'm sorry. Sastumnomo Park or Rimatush Park. Okay, those are a couple names. I find those very interesting. Here's an interesting one, Malcolm Fikes Memorial Park, or just Surfland. Okay, but here's where I like to get snarky. Given the fact that Highway 1 will eventually need to be moved inland from its current location and the new El Granada Park will soon thereafter be eroding into the ocean, yes, that's going to happen, I propose the following for consideration at the next community input gathering event for names for the new park. How about Managed Retreat Plaza, Rip Rap Commons, King Tide Square, Caltrans Staging Yard, the Burnham Strip Causeway, Underwater Gardens, Sea and Sky Stage, the Jaywalking Green, Surfboard Station, Erosion Junction, the Tanks at Surfers Beach, or the Great Infinity of Perpetual Community Input. That would be an awesome name for the park, don't you think, Frank? He won't even look at me right now. All right, well, we're out of time. I was hoping we'd get some calls on that. Save your calls. Send me some emails, 650-560-9851. Put that in your speed dial, coastalwindage@gmail.com. Let's think about those names. Next week, tune in for another riveting installment of Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast. And on March 17th, put this on your calendar, we will have local resident and coastal skyway advocate Matt OJ, this will be fun, on the show as our Shooting the Breeze live interview guest to explain why he thinks the overhead trans system is a good idea for the coast side. I can't wait to talk to Matt about that. Don't miss that. Don't miss us next week. Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast.